Good morning, Newville. Happy Easter. On the back of the devotionals is the scripture verse that I will be reading today. The scripture verse is from John chapter 20. It is, to me, the most beautiful Easter story in all of scripture. And it is a rich and a meaningful and a passionate exchange between Mary M. and her Lord. The story is punctuated with angels. And in the Old and New Testament, when angels appear in a scene, something very important is about to happen. I look at them as like catalysts, or they kind of speed up the person's realization that something powerful is going to happen. So I think that the angels in this story help Mary to see clearly something very, very important, this magnificent reunion that was about to happen between her and her Lord. And the result was her saying, "I have seen the Lord," a powerful thing. So it's my privilege to read to you the story of the empty tomb from John 20, verses 1 through 18. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. She saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." At that, Peter and the other disciple went out, heading for the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and got to the tomb first. Stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then following him, Simon Peter came also. He entered the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. The wrapping that had been on his head was not lying with the linen cloths, but was folded up in a separate place by itself. The other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, then entered the tomb, saw and believed, for they still did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went home again. But Mary stood outside facing the tomb, crying. As she was crying, she stooped to look into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet where Jesus' body had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "Because they've taken away my Lord," she told them, "and I don't know where they've put him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, though she did not know it was Jesus. "Woman," Jesus said to her, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Supposing he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you've removed him, tell me where you've put him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said, "Mary." Turning around, she said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus told her, "for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them what he had said to her. May God bless that reading of his word.
Let me read you something by the same author, John, at the end of his life, exiled. He makes this stunning statement that he hears God make in Revelation 21, verse 5. "Then the one seated on the throne said, 'Look, I'm making everything new.'" not new things. Everything new. Sometimes the Holy Spirit gives me messages and they marinate for weeks. And this is one of those messages. March 6th, Teresa and I are in an airplane flying down for a little getaway. And I'm sitting on that plane, and Teresa said something to me out of a book that she was reading, and immediately the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and this message came into my head, and I didn't have any paper, I didn't have any pen, so the stewardess is, you know, going up and down, and I stopped her, and I said, can you give me a pen? And she said, yeah, I have a pen. I said, you have paper? She said, no, she didn't have paper. But I had this napkin. It was at my seat. Written on this napkin, within 5 minutes, with the pen that she gave me, is the message, the Easter message. And I wrote it down there, and I showed it to Teresa. I said, this is the Easter message for Sunday, for Easter Sunday. That was March 6th. Last week, Tori and Vika invited Teresa and me to go see a movie with them. This movie is called I Can Only Imagine. And it is a story of Bart Millard, if you're familiar with that song. And it's a Christian group called Mercy Me. And by the way, I cannot recommend that movie highly enough. It is so powerful and moving. And we're sitting in that theater, and I'm watching this movie, and the movie echoes what the Holy Spirit had me write down on this napkin March 6th in an airplane. You think the Holy Spirit works? You think it's happenstance and coincidence and circumstances? Because the message of the movie, I Can Only Imagine, is about resurrection. The empty tomb. And I know this is going to speak to someone in here today. And the trick for me, and the battle for me, is to not allow the enemy to rob this message, because it came to me with conviction. So I can give it to you with the same conviction that it came to me. Mary. What Teresa just read about Mary's experience is the hope for God's people, for those who love Jesus. Mary loved Jesus. Jesus loved Mary. And for all of those people, if you find yourself in that category today, for you and for me, there is going to be an empty tomb / resurrection experience for all of us. And it's going to very much mirror what happened with Mary here. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. Here she is. Chaos upon chaos. Her hopes are dashed. Her dreams are over. All of her plans have been scuttled. The man that she had put her hope and trust in apparently had let her down. A desperate situation, and all hope is gone and lost. She's bereaved. She's confused. And she's lost. And she's in the dark. She saw that she comes to the garden tomb, and she sees that the stone has been removed from the tomb. So she ran to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one that Jesus loved, and she said to them, she makes an assumption. It's a reasonable assumption. They've taken away the Lord. They've taken him out of the tomb. Of course. That is an outcome that is expected. When she's in Jerusalem and she leaves Jerusalem and she's on that dark road, it's reasonable for her to think the outcome is going to be nothing more than she comes to the tomb and it's sealed up. And then she comes to the tomb and the stone's rolled away, so she makes a reasonable assumption, doesn't she? Someone's taken the body of Jesus. And beyond that, and she doesn't even know where he is. Where have they put him? Now, you're going to watch something unfold here. And I want you to think about your reasonable assumptions about things. Her reasonable assumption that someone has stolen Jesus' body is about to turn into astonishment and exhilaration. But she's still in the dark. But even though she's in the dark, she makes the trip to the tomb. She's about to experience what Paul says in Ephesians 3, that God is going to do something that is exceedingly abundantly more than she could ask or think. This is an empty tomb resurrection experience of expectations and outcomes in your and my life. You see this? You see, we think of resurrection as just categorized off into bodily resurrection, don't we? When you think of resurrection, that's what you think of. You think that we are going to be bodily resurrected, and that is a wonderful and great hope. I want you to expand that today. And we're going to talk about the phenomenon of resurrection, because Paul talks in Romans 8 when he says the suffering that we have now is not even comparable to the glory that is going to be revealed to us. And then he says, here's what's going to be revealed to you and me. This is what's going to be resurrected. God is going to resurrect all of his creation. He says, first of all, creation is going to be resurrected. Then our bodies are going to be resurrected. Our communication with God is going to be resurrected. And then finally, he says, all things are going to be resurrected. Brought to, like God said, he's going to make them new. That's what resurrection is. It's something that is made new. Mary comes to the tomb. It's empty. But the body of Jesus is not a different body. It's not a new body. It's the body that he had made new. Chaos is about to turn to astonishment and exhilaration. Do you have any chaos in your life? In any darkness? You see, those things... Here's the power and the phenomenon of resurrection today for God's people. We're going to celebrate this today, aren't we? As God's people. What a wonderful message of hope and power this is for us. Because Mary's experience will be our experience for those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose. How about this? How about those things in your life and in my life that we thought were dead, broken, lost, and defeated? You've got a tomb right now. And it might just be in your mind. And you've taken some things in your life, the things that I just mentioned, the dead, the broken, the lost and the defeated things of your life, and you've taken them, haven't you? And you've put them in a tomb, and you've sealed it off. Those things that you presently have put in your tomb, and I've got one, will one day be shown to be, as God promises in Revelation 21, made new. Got any of those? Things you just want to wall off in a tomb? Things you've done? Things that were done to you? Broken relationships? broken health, broken job, broken life, broken mistakes. You've done everything wrong. And the only thing that can happen with those things is they can only be put in a tomb because they're worthless, they're dead, they're broken. God has promises, and he promised us that love him. I'm going to make those things new. What will that experience be like? Well, like Mary, it will be an experience shared only by you and Jesus. First of all, it's going to be intimate, it's going to be personal, and it's going to be singular. You and Jesus will, like Mary and Jesus, one day in the garden of the tomb, of the things that you put in that tomb and the things in your life that can't possibly be reconciled, can't possibly be resurrected. Jesus was dead. Dead people stay dead. Everybody knows that. I can't wait for that experience. Personal, intimate, and singular. Just me. Just Jesus. Just you. Just Jesus. In the garden, at your tomb, and the things in that tomb that you hope nobody ever sees. Liz and Tad's song, "I Come to the Garden Alone While the Dew Is Still on the Roses." This is going to be our experience, brothers and sisters. The minute we pass that thin blue line from physical life on this earth into what is the glory, we go over that line. This is going to be, and this is Tim's conjecture, but I think it's on all fours theologically. I do think it's, I claim the high ground here scripturally. I think that we are going to immediately be in our garden, and we're going to be with our Lord. Wonderful. Come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. That's where we're going to find ourselves. You will not be alone for 1 second, 1 minute. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And then he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me I'm his own. And the joy that we share, you and your Lord, you and Jesus, the joy that you two share as you tarry there, here it is, personal, intimate, singular, no one has ever known. Glorious? You'll have that moment. It'll be the kickoff for eternity for us. Because the very first thing that had to happen to Mary and has to happen to us is that she had to understand all of the things that she thought were gone and over and entombed, and the things that you have put in your tomb, dead, broken, lost, defeated, all of those things are going to be dealt with right off the bat. And Jesus is going to walk with us and tarry with us, and he's going to show us, he's going to explain to us, and we're going to get a peek into our empty tomb. And he's going to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what you could even ask or think. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what has never entered into the heart of man is going to be given to those who love him. Now, that's the first thing. Personal, intimate, singular. What else will this experience be like? Now, may it be today. Amen? May it be today. What else is it going to be like? It's going to be all of those things, but mostly astonishment. Mary has astonishment. Astonishment at having the outcome, watch, at having the outcome of the entombed things of your life, the outcome being so gloriously unexpected. Mary never saw this coming. This had never been done before. And she had a reasonable expectation of outcome, and you do too, and I do too. The reasonable expectation of the entombed things in my life makes sense. It's how it should be. It's how we think. It can't be any other way, can it? That's the astonishment that you're going to have and I'm going to have while we walk in that garden and we tarry with him. You're going to have a gloriously unexpected outcome of those entombed things in your life. See, to me, I would be happy if the entombed things in my life, and I look into the tomb, I would be happy if they were just gone. That's an empty tomb experience, isn't it? They're just gone. Good. No, exceedingly abundantly beyond that, what I can ask and think, they're not gone. What could be beyond that? How can we be more than conquerors? They're resurrected. Try that on. Because my expectations and my hope for God would be just wipe them out, God. Make it like it never happened, God. Empty my tomb, God. No. God says, I'm going to go one better than that. Yeah, your tomb is empty, but the things that you thought were just gone and wiped out in your life, the things that you struggle with and that you hate, the defeated things in your life, look at them now. They're new. One of my favorite movies, Ben-Hur. Arius is a consul to Caesar. And he has been charged by Caesar to take the Roman fleet and rid the seas of the Cilician pirates. And so he commands this armada of the Roman ships. And they attack the Cilician pirates. And the battle, according to Arius' mind, is going poorly. They're losing. And it's at night, and he gets knocked out of the ship, and he's unconscious, and he's laying in the water. The last thing that he saw was the imminent defeat of his armada. The Cilician pirates were going to win. It's over. His expectations were reasonable. And Ben-Hur fishes him out of the water, puts him on a raft. And Arius, counsel to Caesar, wakes up, and he looks and he sees his fleet in fire. And he draws his sword because he wants to kill himself. His expectations are reasonable that this is a total failure. He wanted to entomb that. Well, Ben-Hur stops him from killing himself. Talk about astonishment. You want astonishment someday? The next day, a Roman ship comes and rescues the consul Arius and Ben-Hur. They take him up to a Roman ship, and Arius gets up there, and he's beleaguered, and he's bereaved, and he's confused, and he's lost, and he's sure that there was defeat of his armada. And one of the Roman soldiers says to him, "I want to congratulate you, Arius, on your wonderful victory." And he says, "Victory?" And he says, "Yes, it was a total success." You and I are going to have that. Jesus in the garden, when he tarries and walks with us and talks with us, is going to say, and we're going to say, "I really made a mess of things." And Jesus will say, "It was a total success." Anybody need this today? Thank you, Kay. Because those things will be resurrected. Bereaved, confused, and lost. And then finally, exhilaration. to find your empty tomb and the things that you put in there were resurrected. Exhilaration that will never stop. That'll be your final emotion, God's people. Does Christianity have something to say to you? Does God's word have something to say to you today? Because if you love Jesus, and if you've given your heart to him, and he loves you, this is your immutable future. I want an outcome that is gloriously unexpected. You got some things in your life that will, when you think about it, when you're in Jerusalem, and you're headed for the tomb, and we're all there, aren't we? Fellow travelers to the grave, crawling between the beasts and the angels. Thank you, Mr. Shakespeare. Yes, we're all there, aren't we? We're on that road, and it's dark, and we have to go to that garden tomb. And you have expectations, and they're reasonable, and they make sense. Mary's expectations made sense to her mind. But we serve a God who does exceedingly abundantly beyond what you can ask or even think the outcome could be. Amen? Amen? Wonderful. The hope of Easter. Does God have something to say to you today? Because absent him in your life, those things will stay in that tomb. And you will be tied to them for all eternity. I would much rather look into an empty tomb. And I would much rather than turn around like Mary and see those things that were in the tomb and not even recognize them because they've been made new. How about that? Jesus, Mary doesn't recognize Jesus at first. It can't be Jesus. And you will turn around and you'll say, that can't be those things I put in the tomb. This hope remains, even in the most desperate situations. But like Mary, here's the trick and here's the struggle. Pastor Tim, chief among this, as far as struggling, here's the struggle. You see, right now we live on that dark road, don't we? We live on the road between Jerusalem and the tomb. We live there. And it's dark. And the expectations of what is going to be the outcome dog our steps and haunt us and can cripple us. And you can draw your sword like Arius and want to end it because the outcome can't possibly be anything but failure. While it's still dark. Because now we see through a glass darkly. But then we're going to see face to face. We live in the gap. We live in the gap between reasonable expectations of Jerusalem and the unexpected, exhilarating, gloriously unexpected results of the garden tomb. I need this message. Do you need this message? Amen. But while on that dark road, Mary kept going, didn't she? Mary kept going. While on that dark road, and while in that gap, we can only imagine
what that will be like.